If you've been following me for the last couple of Sundays, you will note that, Reverend Webb, that I've been laying out the case before God's people. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm a preacher. Amen, somebody. And I think now, whether that's going out into the world, we need to now come into the house of God. God wants to talk to his people. And so today I just want to lay out the case. Make my argument. Amen. Stating the facts. And then at the end, giving the closing statements. If my people, who are called by my name, it has been said that Christians are locked like tea bags. You'll never know how strong they are until you put them in hot water. Stay with me, church. Are you with me, deacons? Unfortunately, we may never get to know how strong some Christians could actually be because they would do just about anything, Minister Hankins, to avoid being put into hot water. So God is saying that the hope for America rests with the Christian, not the lost sinner. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, come on somebody, if the breach is going to be repaired, the Christian must acknowledge and accept responsibility for making it happen. Everything that's going on in the world today, we must accept responsibility. You see, because only the Christian in America holds the key. Are you with me, church? That can turn God's heart to restore this nation. Only the Christian who has Christ in you, the hope of glory, can bring about a change. So what I am saying is that we have some serious problems, not only in our country, but in our churches. We have serious problems. Supposedly to be the bride of Jesus. Where is everybody? I should we be asking, where are those who call themselves Christians? Who would have ever dreamed, Reverend Felicia, that we would have court battles over a woman's right to choose how to care for her body? Will you just stay with me, church? Our sisters and our daughters and granddaughters are dying in the emergency rooms because of not getting the medical help, while doctors and nurses can only watch at a distance, too afraid to help or assist. Come on, somebody, without being losing their license or being put in jail. So sadly, the cry is going unheard because too many Christians have sold themselves out to silence and political correctness. Christians who don't stay informed with what is going on around them. Christians who quickly adopt the blind eye, deaf ear attitude towards sin. Somebody say sin. No wonder America is in the shape that it's in. See, you can't blame the pornographers and the political candidates for lust and adultery. Can I make it real in here? You can't blame Hollywood for the corrupt and vile entertainment. You can't blame Anheuser-Busch Brewers for alcoholism. A Philip Morris tobacco for lung cancer. And neither can we blame the AR-15 semi-automatic rifle for gun violence. It's hard, but it's fair. We have failed to live up to our identity of being Christ-like because we refuse to see the sin that is right under our nose. We can no longer hear the cry of the oppressed, not speak out against injustice. The greatest way to advance the cause of evil and corruption is for good people to sit by and do absolutely nothing. The late Representative John Lewis says, we got to make some noise. We're coming up on election time and we got to get in some good trouble. We are to blame and we need to make a drastic change. The change I speak of is not only America's remedy, but our remedy. Because we hold the key to America's spiritual revival. Christians who deal with the problems of our country by either backing off or turning blind-eyed or simply refusing to get involved at all. Christians who don't pray regularly, read and study the Bible, and humble themselves before God, are not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a man of some ills, but exalting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Christians who won't speak up when anti-Christian legislation arises against them. You get the text messages. Amen, somebody. See, Christians who don't stay informed with what is going on around them, Christians who are quickly to adopt that blind eye thing, then who can we blame? We start by pointing the finger at every person who claims that they are Christians. Yeah. It's mostly our fault. That's right. For closing our eyes. Right. Plugging our ears. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Right. And keeping our mouth shut. Yeah. We are to blame. And we need to make a drastic change. So our scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. So one of the most amazing elements of this verse is that it shows the consistency and the constancy of the character of God. There is no great discrepancies between his character in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God for his consistencies. So the first part is, if my people, which are called by my name. And let me establish this point quickly. Who are his people? Matthew 7, 21 says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Am I right about it? But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. His people are the ones that he do his will. Those who have been called according to his purpose. We who have been justified and live by faith, we are his people. We are the called out ones, the chosen ones. Matthew 13, 25 said, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. While the church was sleeping, come on somebody. For too long, the church has been sleeping and it has become complacent and comfortable, trying to be pleasing to man instead of pleasing God. And we're not going to get into helping here. While it's being asleep, the enemy has maneuvered its way into a position of influence and control in society and sadly in the church. Now the church finds herself sidelined and criticized, unable to stand against the onslaught of evil being launched in the world today. And church, we live in a generation now, young folk, where people no longer preach the gospel as they ought to. Folk are now being economically with the gospel of Christ. The blessing plan. Come on, somebody. The worst is that some folk are even perverting the gospel and using it to manipulate and extort people. We need a revival, church. People that will go to the highways and the hedges and the byways to come to Christ. People that will preach Christ and not church. Folk who would not be ashamed to tell others about Jesus Christ. We need a revival in the land. He said, if my people who are called by my name. The enemy has embedded itself behind the thought patterns and the views of the world and the church in a way that is totally opposed to the will of God. We see the borders of decency and morality being pushed out of shape and out of the way. Proverbs 22 and 28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. These landmarks or boundaries are moved daily. Hollywood pushes them. Washington pushes them. Stay with me, church. Politicians pushes them. Social media pushes them. And as a result, the moral compass of society is nearly non-existent. The church has for too long stood by and done nothing while evil is triumphantly growing. But New Providence, God wants us to know what he is doing in the times of crisis. Don't believe the lie. Come on, somebody. I stopped by to remind you this morning that God has a plan. And the plan is in God's hand. Can I do a little fact check before taking my seat? Well, the first fact that we can rest in is that God has a plan. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Those who are studying Revelations, the scripture says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll, come on somebody, written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals. So it's important to understand the significance of the scroll in this chapter of scripture. There is a scroll. There is a plan. And it's written out by the hand of God. And it will be fulfilled. God has a plan. And he's vigilantly carrying it out. History is headed somewhere, church. The scroll is written on both sides. Come on, somebody. From the end to end. So there is no room for anyone to add a plan, add anything to God's plan. Some religions teaches us that there's no purpose to life and no direction, but don't believe the lie. Because the Bible teaches that God has a plan. And this plan for the world is revealed in the book of Genesis, the Gospels, and ultimately in the book of Revelation. The Bible is clear about what the plan is. For it says, and he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will fulfill themselves. To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head. Come on, somebody. Not two heads, not three, but one head. So God will win in the end because there is a scroll. Come on, somebody. The plan is in his hand. And let me say this. I'm not an athlete, but, you know, I'm not good in sports, but I've heard, Deacon Morgan, that no team ever goes into the field without a game plan. They learn the fundamentals of the sports. They watch the film, studying the tactics of the opponents. Are you with me, deacons? They figure out how to counteract the maneuvers of the other team. And if the other team tries their usual game plan, what do? They'll go to plan A. So if you try something else, plan B is developed. And sometimes they will double team a player. Are you with me? They might try an in run, Deacon Hagin, but they always have a plan. And so if ever a team just wanted out into the field just to see how things would go, they would certainly lose, right? God has a plan. He knows the opponent perfectly. He will use his own game plan against him, and he will win in the end. So in other words, God is in control. God's humility is born out of confidence. You can be humble when you know that you're going to win in the end. Are you with me, church? You don't have to outpower everyone and everything. Sometimes we look around at the world and it seems like the devil's winning. But we have a scroll. And we know who wins in the end. God is in control. Appearances are deceiving. Things are not always what they appear to be. Can I get some help in here? The lion is a lamb. But the lamb is also a lion. Y'all with me right now? Come on, somebody. So I want to say to you today, my brothers and sisters, if you are without hope, if you feel like giving up, if you are going through some trials and tribulations in your life today, I stop by to reassure you that the struggle is worth it. The battle might be long and it might be weary. It may appear to others to be weakness, but it is your strength. And if you will triumph in the end. So let me just go quickly. Let me suggest a few practical things. We ought to follow the example of the heavenly beings did. They worship God with all their might. So no pastor, no preacher should have to tell you to stand up and praise God. In that time, they sang proudly, praising and exalting God. If you want your blessings, you better stand up on your feet and ask God to come on, Jesus. We ought to do the same. Keep praising God. Secondly, pray. Pray without ceasing. John tells us that our prayers are gathered in a bowl, in a cup. And once the cup is filled, God acts. I love this picture. Every prayer we make, every petition we state, every time we unload our cares and our burdens, our concerns, the cup is filled. And God's act is coming. And then thirdly, you ought to know God better. Pity the man who does not know God. In the times of crisis, he or she would have nothing to lean on. Know God through the word. We can also know God carefully, listening to him as he speaks to us. Listen to him with your heart and with your mind. And then finally, each of us should continue to trust the Lord. Trust him. Trust your Lord. Trust God. He's powerful. His ways may appear weak at times, but he is strong. Trust him. God has a plan. Trust his plan. He knows you and I and where we are going. He knows our destination. Trust him. He's in control. So you see, my brothers and sisters, as I get ready to take my seat, the plan is in God's hand. What is the plan, Reverend? I'm glad you asked. God sent a lamb to take away the sins of the world. God sent the lamb. In other words, out on a hill called Calvary, Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. A sin bill that we could not pay. But God had a plan. A plan of atonement. A plan of redemption. A plan of restoration. And just like God sent Abraham to Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac, to see if Abraham loved him more than he loved Isaac, God sent his only begotten son out on a hill called Calvary to show how much he loves you and I. He became our sin offering because he is the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world. In Genesis, he is our creator and promised redeemer. In Exodus, he is our Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's our dead water in a desert. In Deuteronomy, he becomes a curse for us. In Joshua, he's a commander in the army of the Lord. Oh, I wish I had some help in here right now. Abel's vindicator. Noah's my ark. Abraham's friend, Isaac's substitute, Jacob's shallow, Moses' bush on the burning bush, and Miriam's son in the desert, Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel, Isaiah's high and lifted low, Daniel's stone hewn out of a mountain, Job's redeemer that still lives. He is the one that Herod could not kill. Sin could not seduce him. Death could not keep him. And the grave could hold him. And early, early, one Sunday morning, he got up. He got up. He got up with all power. Not black power. Not white power. But all power was in his hand.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us. And be blessed.